NBC Sports Philadelphia. You see him on Quick Slants. You see him on Eagles pre and post game live, and you will again this weekend. Derek Gunn joining us right now. Derek, how you doing today?
Gentlemen, welcome to the winter wonderland.
It's a little early, man. I love winter, but it's a little early.
I hate winter. Who asked for this mess? I didn't.
You from Green Bay.
No, Milwaukee, which is just as bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Derek, the Eagles have put themselves in a very precarious situation through nine games by virtue of what happened last week against the Cowboys. And first of all, were you as stunned as a lot of us were that they came out and seemingly didn't look ready to play?
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, if I was a betting man and was willing to bet any money on a game, after watching Dallas play against Tennessee on a Monday night, after watching Dallas play periodically this season, the one game they put it all together was against Jacksonville when they blew out Jacksonville 40-7. But outside of that, watching Dak Prescott and realizing a long time ago that Dak Prescott, unlike a lot of the upper echelon quarterbacks, can't put a team on his back and carry a team, I just thought this was tailor-made for the Eagles, especially being at home, especially the Eagles coming off a bye week, well-rested, and Dallas coming in here on a short week. Dak Prescott put that team on his back against this defense and will them to a win. Yes, he was aided by Ezekiel Elliott's 151 yards rushing, but Dak made the throws he had to make. Dak stepped up when he had to make plays with his legs. And I was shocked by it. And the defense, Dallas's defense, as I told you guys last week, I wasn't surprised by their performance because Dallas's defense is a legitimate top 10 defense. I think the offense has really killed Dallas's defense throughout the course of this season. But the fact that they came in here and scored 27 points on this defense, I was borderline speed to this after that game.
Yeah, this is my problem. And, you know, Schwartz was rather arrogant when he met with the media and has no culpability. And I got to tell you, D, I watched the tape. I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
On the first down they got, I saw guys in the sticks. I don't know what the hell he's saying.
They didn't wrap up and tackle. On third and short situations, you have your corners playing 8 to 10 yards off of receivers. Quick slant will kill you every time. If you're going to give them that kind of cushion in a short yardage situation, it'll kill you every time. They gave up a 3rd and 15 because the cornerback didn't wrap up and tackle. The guy bounced off of him and kept going. It was so on and so forth. You know, Doug said the other day, we're so close. We're so close to so many areas. If you tell me that 2 or 3 weeks into a season, okay, I'm still enthusiastic because you have plenty of time to make adjustments, correct the deficiencies, and so on and so forth. You're saying this after week 10. By week 10, your identity is what it is. And he's still saying this now where, you know what, you're 17th in red zone efficiency. In third down efficiency, you're converting almost 41%, which is not bad but not great. So you are what you are right now, and that's not good enough when you have to face the likes of the Saints and the Rams. And I'll go so far as even say a team like Washington, because Washington plays like a world beater 1 week and play like a less than a 500 team the next week. You don't know which Washington team you're going to face.
No, you know, you're right.
Houston as well.
See, the other problem I have with the defense is they didn't get any key. They don't get key stops. Like,
no.
In the second half, it's 13-6. Eagles tie, 13-13. Dallas goes on a long drive, 20-13. Eagles come back. Where's the momentum from your defense to make that stop after the offense ties the game?
I know a lot of people put blame on the back end of the defense, but where's the pressure from the front seven?
That's the coordinator, man.
Yeah, that's the coordinator. You've got to dial up more blitzes, man. Now, you played a group of wide receivers that are not considered elite receivers. Amari Cooper is a good receiver, but across the board, so your corner should be able to match up one-on-one. You need to send the house on occasions just to give that offense something else to think about. I don't think they sent the house enough.
And it's Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott wilts under pressure.
Yes.
And the other thing, D, and you know, and he sits there and he's an arrogant SOB, and he'll tell, and he looks, I'm just trying to get off the get off the field. I don't care about turnovers. Well, A, it's not just turnovers that you need, but it's also negative plays. You need negative plays because this offense has to go full field every time gets the ball.
And you need somehow, some way to shift momentum. Football is a game of momentum.
Yes.
And when you tell me the other day that I don't care about turnovers, well, that's a lie because a few weeks ago you just said we need to generate more turnovers. Yeah. So, you know, what is it? You don't care about the turnovers?
You're right, you do care
about the turnovers, man.
Derek, there's conflicting messages that have been coming out down there all season long from the jump. First, it was embrace the target and the new norm and all of that. And then it was, hey, our guys don't have any pressure on us. And then there is pressure, and then we heard this week about urgency, and you hear the defensive coordinator say, I'm not trying to force turnovers. Doug said one of the biggest areas of concern is they're not turning the ball over, and they're not good in the red zone. Nothing feels like it's kind of going in the same direction. One guy's pushing, another guy's pulling, and nothing seems like everybody's on the same page. Are you getting that feeling as you're down there?
I agree with you 100%. I don't think a lot of these guys know exactly what to say. I think they're shell-shocked. In a lot of ways.
Well, that's not
just
good.
Like us, none of us thought that this team would be below 500 nine games into a season. Nobody in that locker room thought they would be below 500 nine games into a season. Yet here we stand, and the schedule's getting more difficult. It's not getting easier. So this team has a lot of soul searching to do, because you got a couple of days before you go down to play the hottest team in the National Football League right now. You're playing them in their backyard where they're almost impossible to beat. Now, could this Eagles team beat them? It would have to be the perfect storm. Earlier this season, we saw an inferior Buffalo team go to Minnesota and whack Minnesota. We just watched Cleveland put a beat down on Atlanta. So anything can happen on any given Sunday. But if both teams play the perfect games, this game's not going to be close. I hate to say it, but it's not going to be a close game.
Yeah, man. I know. I mean, we were looking at the numbers, and they just don't. I mean, that offense is outrageous. I mean, first half, D, Saints, 21 touchdowns, 10 field goals, 1 missed field goal, only 8 punts in the first half.
Here's the thing that keeps amazing me. Drew Brees is completing 77% of his passes.
Yeah.
At 39 years of age, he's unconscious right now.
Yeah.
He's only been sacked 9 times. He sees the field as well as any quarterback in the game. He feels the backside pressure, I think, better than any quarterback playing the game right now. And he only has 1 interception. They don't turn the ball over down in New Orleans. So how are you going to generate turnovers if they don't turn the ball over?
Yeah, that I don't know what you do to game plan against that team. Like, that team's to death. Like, to me, Dak was it was obviously an easier way, because to me, you pressured Dak. Like, you saw the few times they actually got pressure. He fumbled to himself one time. Like, they're
absolutely.
You can rattle him. You're not going to rattle Brees.
And he will serve up a pick every now and then. He's known for serving up a pick under pressure.
Yeah, man, I don't get it. But you're right about, you know, maybe that position, it's so interesting because, you know, Brady, over the previous couple of years, was playing some of the best football in his life, right?
Yep.
Maybe that position, you know, you're 38, 39, 40.
Become more savvy.
That's the best you're going to play. Because you have so much knowledge,
yep.
So much wisdom, so much experience, that it all translates if you still have the arm.
You know, and I truly believe it's how you surround a 38, 39-year-old quarterback with personnel. You know, you look at the personnel that the Drew Breeses and the Tom Brady's continuously have, and the system, the consistent system that they have, and it works for them consistently. So I think that's a big part of it, too. When you get a quarterback at that age and he's still a starting quarterback, you're not going to fool him with schemes. He's not going to see ghosts. And if he's an accomplished quarterback like the Brady's and the Breezes, you know what? You just have to flat out beat him the way Tennessee flat out just went after Tom Brady. I haven't seen Tom Brady get hit that many times in the last 2 seasons the way
since
Tennessee
Bags
got hit this past Sunday.
Hey, I question. What do, and think about this for a second, because there's an answer here. What do Brees and Brady have in common?
What do
weapon-wise, you said it's about what you put around them, and I agree. And there's a key component that both those guys have in their offense.
The head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. But if you look at the back out of the backfield, that's such a weapon, right?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, look at Brady. He goes to that back, you go to White, boom, 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 boom. You look at Brees and Kamara, both those weapons out of the backfield are huge.
But here's the difference, and I agree with you 100%, but here's the difference. When you look at the Patriots system, they plug any back in that system. Every other year it's a different back, and they excel. Sean Payton likes to hone in on certain backs and keep those backs within a system. And make it work.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the personnel. I'm just talking about the idea of going underneath.
Absolutely.
And look, I mean, who are you throwing to with the Eagles? You're not throwing any of these backs.
That's a great question. You're not, because now you're talking about Josh Adams. Doug Peterson said Josh Adams deserves more of an elevated role. I agree with him in that regard. The kid's averaging over 6 yards a carry. I agree with him, almost 6 yards a carry. I agree with him. But you're right. You have to throw to the back out of the backfield to flip the script every now and then. Josh Adams has one catch this season. I don't even know if he can catch. I don't know if Carson Wentz trusts him enough to throw him the ball four or five times.
The 7 yards, the 6 yards per carry is like the backup catcher who hits 348.
Yeah.
Because of the limited at bats.
Yeah, and then people think that if you give him all those at bats, he's going to hit 348.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And then it's going to be fourth and one. He's going to get stopped.
Yeah,
fourth and one and
exactly.
A half.
Exactly.
Well, if your head coach says Josh Adams deserves more of a prominent role, that's telling me that he's leapfrogging past both Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement. If that's the case, if that's what you're thinking, if that's part of your future game plan, I want to see the kid touch the ball 15, 18 times. Now, we know that doesn't happen a lot in this system. I want to see the kid touch the ball. But I don't care if he's between the tackles, running jet sweeps, stretch runs. I don't care whatever it is. I want to see him touch the ball 15, 18 times.
You know what I would prefer touch the ball? Golden Tate.
Exactly.
All right. I don't need Adams. I need Golden Tate.
Well, you gave up a third-round pick for this guy. You don't bring him in here
exactly.
And just give him 3 or 4 looks. That man's got to get 10 or 12 looks in a game at least.
Yeah, you're right about that. And we'll see if that's the case this Sunday. Hey, Derek, thanks for taking the time today. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll see if the Eagles can come out with a win. We'll be watching you on Quick Slants and, of course, on Eagles Pre- and Post Game Live.
All right, man. You guys stay dry. Thanks for having me on.